This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Now to Jack Munro, Tin Can Cook is your latest book, filled with recipes featuring cans. Yes.
Yes, it is, yeah. What do you want to know about it?
Well, why cans? I mean, obviously, I think you say that actually they're just as nutritious, the ingredients are fine, they're not bad for you in any way, shape or form. You also say they're cheaper. Now, cans can be cheaper, though not always, we've discovered.
Yeah, it depends on what you're buying in tins as to whether or not it's cheaper than fresh produce. But one of the benefits of buying things in cans is they're easier to store. So if you're in a situation where maybe you don't have like freezer space to store like limitless amounts of frozen vegetables, or you know, if you've been hauling out for the apocalypse or whatever, then you're...
Listen, we've discussed that on the show.
And these, it's a thing.
It is most definitely a thing. People are very careful about that. Yeah.
But tin cans are nutritious. But my main driver behind writing this book was that for quite some time, a few years ago, I was a food bank user. And food banks are something that are on the increase year on year in this country, and more people are forced to rely on them, otherwise they're at risk of going hungry. And I wanted to create a book of really simple recipes that I would have found useful at that time. It's not just a book for food bank users, though. It's got quite a traction in like the camping community or among people with disabilities who may find it difficult to chop fruit and vegetables or to like use a lot of energy to cook. So it's sort of a multifunctional simple cookbook.
You are making I didn't do it justice when I said something with cannellini beans. It's got a much posher title. What is it?
It's a cannellini bean beurre blanc, and that sounds quite fancy, but I put it in this book sort of as a bit of a hurdle of my own to get over. I was raised working class by an Irish mum and a Cypriot dad, so we had very like plain basic food in my childhood. And then as an adult and as a food writer, I would come across recipes for beurre blanc and I think it's not food for someone like me.
I don't even know what it means, actually.
It's like a butter and wine reduction, basically. It's like a classic French recipe. Even the word reduction, I was like, well, what does that mean?
Mm. What does it mean?
It just means a sauce that you've sort of reduced and made less of a sauce.
By heating for a period of time, yeah.
Okay. So the liquid content evaporates and it just makes something more sort of thick and more reduced. And I started to think, well, maybe my own attitude to food was like reverse classist. Like maybe I thought that there were some things that I shouldn't have or shouldn't be cooking or shouldn't be attempting. So I decided to give it a go and then put it in my tin can cookbook just to really irritate people.
Let's get started then, because you're going to make this for my mid-morning snack.
Excellent.
Which I'm hugely looking forward to.
Pasta as a mid-morning snack is a very good thing to have.
I need to build myself up. You can't be too careful. Oh, well, the apocalypse might be coming, according to you, anyway.
Well, so absolutely. You know, I don't want to scare people.
No.
You know, I don't want to... I don't want to be one of these end is nigh people. I've left my sandwich board at home. But I just want to make some pasta on woman's hour, if that's all right.
The ingredients are very simple. Tin of cannellini beans. You've got some pasta as well. Any shape?
Yeah, any shape of pasta. Although, there's a fantastic book called The Geometry of Pasta by a guy called Jacob Kennedy and a designer, Kaz Hildebrand, who talks about that there is a perfect shape of pasta for every kind of pasta dish. So I looked through his book to find what the perfect shape of pasta would be for a cannellini bean beurre blanc. And he recommended for anything with big beans, consigli, because it's the shell-shaped pasta and it literally cups a little bean in every single mouthful. And so the pasta sort of forms around the bean like a snug little cocoon. You get a little bit of sauce in there and it's absolutely perfect. So this is my very basic budget cookbook, but it's got ideas about itself.
Stick the pasta in the pan and let's get going with this.
Okay.
So you put the pasta, obviously you cook pasta in the normal way, and do you add the beans at the same time?
I'm going to stick the beans in at the same time because then they go really nice and soft and creamy.
Okay.
So stick them both in the pan of water.
Yep.
Ooh, satisfying sound there.
And the other ingredients are the kind of things that, well, you tell me, does the average person, perhaps on a low income, have other ingredients that you're about to use in their cupboard? I mean, what would you say about that?
Well, the good thing about this recipe is you can pretty much use what you've got. So I've got white wine vinegar, but you could use any kind of vinegar.
Oh, okay.
I've got white wine, which I specially brought for this, but your recipe also works with cider, if you've got cider in the house, or you can leave it out altogether and just stick a bit of extra vinegar in. So it's a sort of whatever you've got to hand. I've got butter, but you could use oil. So you can. There are so many variables to cook this dish that it is, as long as you've got basically some acid, some booze, some fat and some flavour, you can make it.
And is this a main meal?
Yeah, I had it for my dinner last night, road testing it for this, and it's and I went to bed and slept for 8 hours. It's a very good main meal.
So it's satisfying. But do you need greens with it to really justify it, or add a little bit of, what would you say?
I mean, as a mother, I would say that a side of greens with your meal is always a good thing to have, but I don't have any here.
Okay, that doesn't matter. I'm not criticising you. Tell us a bit about your current state of mind, if you don't mind me asking, because you've been very, very public about alcohol, about acknowledging that you had a problem with it and about packing it in. How is all that going?
It's going absolutely fine. I mean, I managed to get here with an entire small bottle of white wine and not swig it on the tube.
Well, that was actually sort of, honestly, why I asked you. Because it's pretty hard to avoid alcohol in your line of work, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, I used to cook with alcohol in my recipes quite a lot, simply because I had it laying about. And now it's something that I have to deliberately go out and get. And I had a difficult conversation with the managers of all my local corner shops a few months back, and I just said, look, do not serve me booze. I'm an alcoholic. I'm trying to recover. I'm putting myself through a 12-step program. Don't serve me whatsoever. Which means that now I have to walk for about a mile to buy a tiny 200ml bottle of wine to go and do woman's out. So I go in and Lee, the guy at the corner shop, is like, no, he told me not to serve you. And I'm like, I'm going on the BBC. He's like,
this is legit.
I know, this is legit. It's for this recipe. And he's like, nope.
That's a really interesting insight into the measures you felt you had to take to tell the people who in the past would have sold you alcohol that they just shouldn't.
Yeah, that they just shouldn't. I went through a point of, I put a note on the inside of my passport page, so on the facing page of the photograph. So if I get to the point where I'm at the checkout with my ID, so they say, have you got any ID? I had a note on it, like stuck to it with a Sharpie saying, do not serve me, I'm an alcoholic. And that worked. It was embarrassing. Like, the two times I tried it, it was really embarrassing. But that embarrassment was enough that I didn't do it again. But I'm now in a place where I'm absolutely fine. I can go to parties where other people are drinking, and I'm not complacent about it. But no. I seem to have come out the other side of it.
There's a fantastic smell. I have to say, it is largely that of cooking alcohol wafting across the studio now, I've got to be honest. Tell me a little bit about, I was thinking about my own food bank donations. And, you know, the terrible truth is, Jack, I don't always remember to give. And sometimes I just don't give, even though, honestly, I haven't forgotten. And I'm outing myself here, I guess, sometimes I'm conscious that when I give food to the food bank that I wouldn't buy for my own household.
Ah.
Well, you tell me, what am I doing here?
You are breaking my cardinal rule of food bank giving.
Go on.
Which is that you should donate the same things that you would buy for yourself.
I don't think you're wrong.
But that said, any donation is going to make a difference. And if you are honestly in a position where the only additional things you can stretch to is the Sainsbury's supermarket budget ranges, other supermarkets are available, it's the budget ranges at the supermarket, then giving that 30p box of cornflakes is better than giving nothing at all. So although my personal feeling on it is that you should donate the same quality of produce that you would have yourself, if you're not in a position to do that, then giving anything is better than giving nothing.
And if you can, give sanitary products, toilet roll.
And sun cream this time of year, because sun cream is extortionately expensive. And I know that food banks are grateful for donations and things like that as well.
That's a good point. And I know that your book has been made available, hasn't it, via the Trussell Trust, is that correct?
Yeah, we did. I did a crowdfunder because I wanted to get one copy of Tin Can Cook into every food bank in Britain so that they could photocopy it. And it's been neatly designed so that it photocopies like as an A4 page. I said, you can photocopy it, you know, it's not copyright laws, just photocopy it, hand the recipes out to food bank users. And the general public went one better and have crowdfunded enough for 10,000 copies, which is a couple of hundred to every food bank in the UK. And people have been just handing them out to their clients. And the feedback I've had from food bank users and from the volunteers who run them has been astounding and really overwhelming. Because this really is what I wanted this book to do, is to go into the hands of the people who would need it the most.
And, well, I think it's
doing well.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. And just very briefly, because I honestly didn't think about this until I looked at the book. Stewing steak. If you've got a tin of stewing steak, you say you can effectively get rid of what can be a somewhat gloopy sauce and then do something with the meat.
Yeah, it's just slow cooked meat. It depends on what you're doing with it. If you want to make like a ragu, so you just add the stewing steak with some of the gravy to a can of tomatoes, a slosh of red wine, a bit of garlic or onion, and you've got basically the equivalent of any slow cooked nonna's bolognese out there, but knocked up in 15 minutes flat. But that's, to me, I'm quite methodical in how I approach my recipes. So I bought loads of different cans of stewed steak and rinsed the gravy off and then weighed what was left to see which was the best value brand of stewed steak, like which can was mostly steak and which can was mostly gravy. And but it is, yeah, it's something that I would have previously associated with my mum's dinners. We'd have stewed steak and mash and a pile of boiled greens. And as a child, I was like, I didn't want to touch it. But as an adult, I'm like, that's some good quality stuff right there.
Jack, thank you very much. Thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavour. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.